Chapter 12.
What would Lucifer get out of starting the end of the world?
I questioned as I stood up from the bed and began pacing around the hotel room. I thought the rapture was the end goal of the Exalted One.
Oh, perhaps, Raphael pondered aloud. But remember what happens to all the humans on Earth who are left behind? The non-believers?
Oh, shit! Todd gasped. They have to star in a shitty movie with Kirk Cameron or Nicolas Cage?
Not quite. Raph rolled his eyes. They'll be stuck down here on Earth to be tried and tortured for their sins. It's, supposedly quite the spectacle.
So my father just wants to have some new souls to torture? I rubbed my temples. That doesn't make any sense. He gets thousands of new shades down in hell every day.
Yeah, but that's changing, isn't it?
Eclipse said as realization dawned on her face.
Slowly but surely, you and your allies are taking over hell and changing the way it works. Which means he's running out of places to torture souls.
Cupie added.
Which means he needs to branch out to new places to find them. What do we do now?
Libidine asked, with concern in her voice.
If this John won't act as Lucifer's harbinger, then he'll probably just find another one to pay.
Hold that thought, I announced as I surveyed the room. I noticed Zeitman had a bucket of ice on one of the end tables of his room, so I dashed over, picked it up, and took a cold cube into my hand. Then I began to walk around the room, and as I walked, I placed the cubes down on the floor until I'd created a giant circle. Once that was done, I placed the bucket back onto the bed, ran over to my friends, and motioned for them to join hands.
What are you?
Zeitman began, but Cupie interrupted him.
Just do it,
she ordered, and the paranormal expert complied. I mumbled the sacred words that would protect us from Lucifer's gaze, and as I did so, the cubes on the floor began to glow with a bright white enchantment that let me know the spell had worked.
All right, there, I said as I released my grip.
Now he can't hear us.
What did you just do?
John gasped.
Protective circle,
Jane explained.
It's so the big guy downstairs can't hear what we're saying.
We don't have long, I noted as I glanced around at the ice cubes. These things will melt in a few minutes, and then the spell will be rendered useless. John, you're going to keep taking Lucifer's money.
What?
What?
All of my friends seemed to gasp in unison.
Jacob!
Raphael warned.
If he continues to take the money and spread the word about the apocalypse, the entire world is in danger of annihilation.
That's why we keep in contact with him, I continued. John will keep taking the money, but then he'll reach out to Oliver and Jane and tell them exactly what message he's supposed to be spouting off that month. Then, once we have our insider info, we can stop anything Lucifer does before it happens. Not to overstep my bounds, Oliver noted with a raised finger. But that sounds somewhat risky, King Ralston.
It's very risky,
I shrugged. But it's going to be 10 times worse if Lucifer goes and finds another mortal to deliver his message. One we might not be able to find. Better the devil you know, right?
Quite literally in this case.
Deja giggled.
Don't know if I can continue interacting with this guy now that I know he's the devil,
Zeitman shuddered.
To know he's pure evil incarnate, standing right in front of me, and all be doing his wicked bidding? I don't know if I can handle that, Jacob.
You don't have anything to worry about, I reassured him as I placed my hand on his shoulder. If any of Lucifer's messages are set to come true, we'll take care of it. We're not going to let the world end.
Yeah, Todd snickered. The dynamic duo of Todd and Jakey, with the help of my other sidekicks, of course, will single-handedly knock off whatever apocalyptic bullshit Big Red can throw at us.
Big Red?
Libidine giggled.
Yeah, Todd explained. That's the name I just came up with for Jakey's dad. You like it?
It's quite fitting.
Cupie shrugged.
Anywho, don't worry, Johnny boy.
The imp in disguise promised.
This group right here, we're gonna single-handedly stop the apocalypse.
Maybe it was just the way Todd worded the sentence, or maybe it was just the first time I had a moment to truly ponder what we were talking about. Either way, I could feel the color drain from my face, and my heart sank down into my chest. The apocalypse.
We'd just agreed to literally stave off the apocalypse.
I suppose, Zeitman conceded. I mean, what have I got to lose? Still going to be paid millions of dollars to do what I love, and if you guys are right, then I'm still going to have the rest of my life to spend it. Well, and if you're wrong, well, at least the Zeitman gets to go out on top of the paranormal world.
I extended my hand out to the balding, dark-haired man, and he shook it limply. So we have a deal? You keep going on like nothing's happened, and then report everything you're told back to my cultists?
I can live with that.
John nodded.
Unfortunately, there's still one more thing we need to do.
Cupiditas spoke up.
And I apologize in advance.
Cupy nodded to Oliver and Jane, who then both drew their goat-headed daggers.
Whoa, whoa!
Zeitman gasped as he threw up his hands.
I said I'd work with you!
If you come out of this protective circle unharmed, Lucifer will know something fishy is going on.
Jane sighed.
So, we need to make it look like we roughed you up a little bit.
Rough me up?
The man shook his head.
Are you going to hurt me?
Of course not, Oliver chuckled. What do you think we are, sadists?
I mean, you all wearing cultist robes?
Zeitman shot back.
And weren't you the cult of Azazel before? I've heard lots of stories about the weird stuff you guys have done in the past.
Well, that was then, this is now, Oliver shrugged. But the cult of Ralston only kills demons or other supernatural beings that dare cross our leader. Jane sauntered over to the pale, salmon and brown curtains in front of the window, and then made a gagging sound.
Ugh, and these curtains! These are almost worse abominations than the demons.
The brunette cultists stabbed her dagger into the fabric, and then ripped it downward. At the same time, Oliver started to repeatedly stab his weapon into the faux oak wood of the dresser.
Oh, holy shit!
Todd giggled with glee.
Oh, I've always wanted to do one of those rage room things.
The imp in disguise proceeded to run over to the flat screen TV, yank it off the wall, and held it over his head like he was a pro wrestler. Then he spun it around so it was facing the ground lengthwise, hopped up into the air, and put the top of it between his knees. The plastic casing of the television snapped immediately when he hit the ground, and a massive crack shot up the screen. But he wasn't done with it yet. Todd stood up, looked out at the invisible crowd, and motioned for them to get loud. Then he nodded, patted his elbow, and fell down so it slammed straight through the TV.
Oh, is that really necessary?
A horrified John Zeitman asked.
Listen, jabroni,
Todd emulated in the Rock's voice.
I just had to teach this pansy-ass television to know its role and to shut its mouth.
I looked over and saw Eclipse, Deja, Cupie, and Libidine had all gotten in on the action as well.
Four!
Libidine giggled as she tossed a coffee mug at Cupie, who then proceeded to shatter it with the blunt end of her pole arm. Meanwhile, Deja was scratching every profanity she knew into the walls with the point of her chain and spear. Eclipse must have been off in the bathroom, though, because I could hear the sound of porcelain and glass shattering in the distance. Even Raphael had gotten in on the mayhem. The Archangel had a furrowed brow as he stood over a tissue box, yanked each tissue out in rapid succession, and then flung them into the air carelessly. Whew! What a fucking rebel. Finally, once all was said and done, the group returned to my side and marveled at their work.
Whew! How am I going to explain this to the room service?
Zeitman whined. Tell them the truth, I air quoted. Some crazy people broke into your hotel room, trashed the place, and threatened to kill you. Oh, fuck, tell them it was the BPI or whatever, since that'd be right up your alley.
They're not going to believe that, the paranormal expert sighed. They never do.
Well, then pay them off, I offered. Oliver, are you still the traveling bank for the cult of Ralston?
I sure am.
The white-haired cultist grinned, pulled the belt off his robe, and then opened it up excitedly.
Jesus, Ollie!
Todd screamed as he covered his eyes.
Warn a guy before you go whipping it out like a teen who just discovered the safe search was disabled.
I'm fully clothed under the robe, Todd, Oliver explained.
Now that his robe was open, I could see the cult leader's fashion faux pas in all its glory. On his feet were a pair of dirty white socks covered by the oh-so-fashionable black rubber Crocs he always wore. His socks came up to his shins, and then there was a large gap that revealed his pale skin before his legs were covered up by his baggy camouflage cargo shorts. As if that wasn't enough, the shirt on his torso was horrifically hilarious.
What?
Todd snorted as he pointed and tried to hold in his laugh.
What is that?
Well, this?
Oliver looked down at the dark mesh, see-through shirt on his body.
This is my undershirt. It gives me an extra layer of fabric for protection, but it's completely breathable. It's almost like I'm not wearing any shirt whatsoever.
You look like the world's worst stripper!
Todd fell down to his knees and laid his face in his hands as he laughed.
Geriatrics, please, welcome to the stage, the Cargo King, the Crocs and Socks himself, Ollie!
That's not my name, the white-haired cultist protested.
It is when your German porn star-looking ass is up on that stage,
the imp snorted through his cackles. Oliver simply rolled his eyes, reached into the pocket of one of his cargo shorts, and produced a handful of $100 bills. Then he walked over to the stunned Zeitman, placed the wad into his hand, and smiled proudly.
There,
the white-haired cultist mused.
That should be enough to cover any damages they might charge you for. Also, here's my contact information, so you can let us know when Lucifer reaches out.
We should go.
Eclipse warned.
I'm sure all this commotion attracted somebody's attention, and the whole charade is lost if we're still here when the manager arrives.
Do I need to carry him out?
Raphael joked as he pointed down at Todd.
No, I'm good.
The imp reassured us as he stood to his feet and wiped away a tear.
I can just die happy now, that's all. How are you going to get out without anyone seeing you?
Zeitman questioned.
Same way you've seen us do it before.
I winked at the man and then summoned green hellfire into my hand. Zeitman stood there for a moment with pure confusion on his face. He looked back and forth between my hand and my face, and then he quirked his head to the side.
Regular humans can't see green hellfire, bro,
Todd whispered into my ear. Right. John, I'm going to teleport us out of here using some demonic magic. I spread the emerald flames across the floor so they engulfed the rest of my team, and then I closed my eyes and focused on the task at hand. I thought about my father, trying to bring about the end of the world for his own selfish reasons. I thought about all the people who would die if he was successful, or if for some reason we weren't able to stop him. Feelings of disgust boiled up from the deepest pit of my stomach as my mind raced, and soon I had enough power to get us all out of here.
Bye, Johnny boy,
I heard Todd bid Zeitman farewell. I pictured our two vehicles out in the parking lot, and then I felt my body become weightless as it floated up into the air.
Holy shit,
John gasped. Then I teleported us back out to the parking lot, right in between where Shadow and Lola were stationed.
Well, $10 says he milks that little encounter for the next 5 years,
Todd snorted as the glow faded from his body.
I just hope he's not foolish enough to include Lucifer in his account,
Raphael added.
Being outed to the mortal world isn't something he takes too kindly, nor would the Exalted One.
I'm sure he'll keep it focused on us, I admitted. I mean, shit, there were people back in that convention who knew who we were. We're big names in the world of the paranormal now.
Now?
Todd mused.
Jakey, I've been talking about you guys on Tuesdays with the Toddster ever since the beginning. My listeners adore you.
Well, I just hope we haven't made a mistake,
Slaying demons and conquering the circles of hell was one thing, but preventing the entire apocalypse? That's another.
Do not fear, Jacob,
Raphael reassured me.
If Lucifer really is trying to bring about the end times, you will have the Exalted One on your side, even if it's simply an uneasy truce. The Divine will not stand to have revelations happen before it is the proper time.
Well, then why don't they come down and stop all this? It would save us a lot of time and energy if the big guy could just step in, wave his hand, and erase everything that was about to happen.
That could still be in the cards,
Raphael admitted.
But first, he must be made aware of Lucifer's actions. Once this adventure is over and I have returned to paradise, I will have a little chat with my brethren. They need to know what's going on.
When the adventure is over?
Libidine pondered aloud.
What else do we have left to do?
Raphael looked down at the pavement somewhat coyly.
Oh, well, I had assumed we were all going to celebrate our victory, right?
He chuckled.
We are in the Big Guava, after all. I hear their beaches are second to none, even the ones in heaven.
Hold up, Todd gasped. Am I hearing this right? Raphael, the Goody Two-Shoes Archangel, wants to party?
I'm not that much of a Goody Two-Shoes,
the dark-haired Archangel shot back.
In fact, I am quite the rebel in the divine circles.
I don't think taking two free samples when the sign says one counts as rebellious, bro,
Todd joked.
Now, please,
Raph scoffed.
I'd never aspire to that level of pettiness.
I used to occasionally chew gum in divine classes without getting caught.
And I have been known to jaywalk across the streets of paradise right in front of officers of the Heavenly Police Force, while making direct eye contact with them.
Todd giggled and threw his hands up in the air.
Careful, guys! Oh, we got a badass here!
The girls at the Velvet Lips have really gotten me to lighten up as well,
Raphael continued.
Oh, the sorts of things we do at that place! Whew! Thank goodness you've hexed it so the building is hidden from the Exalted One's eyes!
Todd suddenly stopped laughing, and his eyes went wide.
Bro, I was joking when I said that,
the imp in disguise clarified.
Like, it was just a sarcastic Toddism.
The color drained from Raphael's face.
But you said verbatim, this is a strip club, Raffy. Everything that happens here stays between you, the babes, and absolutely nobody else. Not even the Exalted One. End quote.
Bro!
Todd slapped his hand over his eyes and shook his head.
That was just an expression. You know, playful banter.
Huh. So, the Exalted One could see everything that went on in there?
Raphael now looked like he was going to faint.
Well, yeah,
the imp in disguise shrugged.
It's just a fancy gentleman's club, not a sacred site or anything like that. though I think there might just be as many people getting on their knees and saying, oh God.
The dark-haired archangel stumbled backward, leaned himself against the side of Lola, and stared off into space.
Fuck,
he muttered to himself.
It's all right, Raphael,
Deja reassured him.
I'm sure none of the other archangels are as clean and pure as they'd like you to think.
Oh, well, no,
Raph shuddered.
But I don't think you realize the sorts of things we would do when the eye of the Lord isn't upon us. I did things that would make Tony Montana blush with shame.
What? Did you tell all the girls there to say hello to your little friend?
Todd snickered, obviously amused by the whole situation.
I wish that was all.
Raphael trailed off as he stared into the distance. Okay, so, sounds like Raphael really needs to blow off some steam right now. So, I think a big blowout session is in order. Drinks, grilling out, well, hell, even maybe a little yacht or some shit. We've definitely earned it.
Where shall we go, then?
Jane pondered as she laid a delicate hand against my chest.
The beaches are going to be jam-packed at this time of the year.
That's why we're going to find one that isn't. I smiled.
Oh, right now? Oliver mused. In one of the most popular places in Florida during peak season?
We're not going to one of the public beaches, Oliver. I shot back. We're gonna find our own.
Find our own? I don't think there's a single stand of beachfront in this state that hasn't already been discovered.
Well, then we go out of the state. There have to be dozens, if not hundreds, of undiscovered islands out there. Oh, surely we can find one that isn't being occupied right now.
I volunteer!
Deja said excitedly.
I love the ocean. It reminds me of those California beaches I've always dreamed about, but never really got to see.
Well, we'll make that our next trip. I promised the succubus. Now, who wants to go with her? The cult of Ralston always employs the buddy system.
I'll go,
Raphael offered as he finally snapped to his senses.
That way, should we get lost, I can just use my divine magic to teleport myself back to the shore and get help.
And what about me? So I just be lost out at sea?
We'd come back for you,
Raph reassured.
And Jacob would kill me if I let anything happen to one of his demon lords. Besides, can't you slow down time? It's not like you'd be lost for very long.
Very funny.
The tan succubus huffed and crossed her arms. Head to Fort DeSoto, I explained to the team. It's about as far south as you can go in this city, right next to the open ocean. Plus, it's not as big of a touristy place as the rest of the beaches around here. As for the rest of us, we'll go to the store, pick up some essentials, and then meet you there. Hopefully by then you'll have found some sort of usable place for us to go.
Roger that, friendo.
Todd saluted and then turned back to the car and waved.
Clock Blocker and Raph, get in the sex machine.
I'll go with him.
Cupie sighed.
I know better than to leave Todd alone on a beach with a bunch of scantily clad women.
Probably a good call. I shook my head and then started back for our jeep. Everyone else come with me. We've got some essentials we need to pick up. The team filed into the two vehicles, started them up, and then headed our separate ways. Not too much later, we came upon our destination, a little beach shop called Tony's Surf Outfitters. Eclipse, Jane, Libidine, Oliver, and I entered the vividly colored store, where our nostrils were promptly assaulted by the smell of surfboard wax and sunscreen.
Oh, what's the plan, Master? I mean Jacob.
Oliver caught himself before he said the word I hated.
I don't know, keeper of the coin. Just grab whatever you think we'll need. Alcohol, games, boards, whatever floats your boat, I guess. I think we're all going to go look at swimsuits in the meantime.
I'll find one for myself as well,
the white-haired cultist noted, and then he turned around and hobbled off to look at all the goodies that awaited him.
He's going to find something terrible,
Jane whispered.
Something very, very terrible.
I shook my head. Then I put my arm around the three women and headed toward the swimsuit section of the store.
I don't know why we're looking for suits,
Eclipse purred.
I'm intending on just lounging around naked.
Raph, Todd, and Oliver are all going to be there, I reminded the tattooed succubus. So you should probably cover up with something, even if it's barely a cover.
Fine.
Eclipse rolled her eyes. She strutted over, found a black two-piece suit that was obviously too small for her, and then slung it back over her shoulder. Well, I wasn't going to complain. Jane and Libidine went off to find their own bathing suits, and the ones they came back with didn't disappoint. The brunette cultist had picked out a skimpy two-piece, the same dark navy color as her robes. The top looked like it came up and wrapped around behind her neck, which was a perfect support for the massive breasts on her chest. Libidine's suit was somehow even more tiny. It was a shiny green fabric with a G-string bottom and a top barely large enough to cover her nipples.
I picked out suits for the rest of my sisters as well.
Libidine giggled.
I hope they like them.
You're good with fashion, Libby, so they'll love whatever you give them. Besides, most of them are going to want to just be naked anyway. I don't think they'll all care that much.
What about you?
Jane purred.
Are there any Speedos around here that'll show off that war hammer in your pants?
As much as you'd enjoy that, I don't want to scar the other guys for life. Let's just stick with something a little more traditional, huh? Jane frowned, but Libidine was already springing into action. The Sister of Lust ran over to the men's section and then came back with two pairs of plain-colored trunks.
There.
She smiled.
A black one and a white one. Perfect for you and Raph. No patterns or pictures or gimmicks to show off your package. Plain as can be.
Perfect. I confirmed with a nod. All right, now let's go see how Oliver's doing. As we arrived at the cash registers, we saw Oliver standing there excitedly with a large cart full of items. Even from here, I could see the cultist had splurged on fruity, single-bottle drinks, as well as a few beach tents, towels, and a set of horseshoes. Whew, looks like you're all set. Did you find everything you needed?
Oh, I most certainly did. And, best of all, I found this wonderful suit.
The cultist reached down and then picked up what could only be described as a man's one-piece bathing suit. It was dark blue, but it looked like it wrapped down around the crotch and then came back and hung around the shoulders. I could already hear Todd's Borat jokes now. Well, we checked out, bagged up our goodies, and then put them in the back of Shadow. Next, we sped off down the highway toward our meeting space, and I could barely contain my anticipation. Finally, after another long, successful adventure, we were going to get to celebrate the only way we knew how. We hopped onto the interstate, headed down through St. Petersburg, and then finally out onto the highway, surrounded by nothing but open ocean. After about a two-hour journey, we arrived at the gate of Fort DeSoto. We paid our entrance fee, drove inside, and then followed the signs to the southernmost tip of the beach. There, parked alone in the parking lot, was the 80s Volvo we all knew and loved. Todd, Cupy, Raph, and Deja were all there on the beach, and they waved excitedly when they saw us approach. We met up with the rest of our team and passed around the supplies, and the girls took some time changing in the back of Shadow. Within 15 minutes, everyone was clad in their bathing suits, ready to hit the road. However, something on Deja's outfit particularly caught my attention. Probably the fact that it was so fucking skimpy. Her top was a black string bikini with patches of fabric barely large enough to cover her large erect nipples. Her lower half was just as revealing, a G-string whose small front rode up to reveal the lips of her pussy. Then there were her legs. Transparent fabric covered her feet up to her high ankle and then spread out into a series of strings that created intricate patterns all around her calves. From those hung tiny strings with sparkly black diamonds and charms. But that wasn't the only interesting accessory Deja was rocking. On top of her head sat two large black and pink ears. Where'd you get those bunny ears? I chuckled and pointed at the accessory.
These? First off, dude, they're totally bat ears. I'm a demon, not a rabbit. As far as where they came from, we saw this little beach shop on the way over here, so I begged Todd to stop so we could check out all the knickknacks.
Oh, what can I say? Todd snickered. I'm a sucker for knickknacks, bro.
I like 'em. Very Playboy-esque.
Bro, you're not going to believe the place they found.
Todd could barely contain his excitement as he jumped up and down like an overexcited cartoon character.
There's a small island about 50 miles southeast of here, Raphael announced. Probably no larger than 2 by 3 miles and covered only by pristine white sand and a small forest of trees.
And surrounded by nothing but vast blue ocean.
Deja sighed.
We didn't even see any ships within 6 miles of the place.
Whew, sounds perfect. I grinned as I walked back to Shadow's back gate and pulled it open. But here comes the hard part. We kind of went overboard buying stuff, so everybody's going to need to carry something on the way.
Oh, small price to pay for suns out, buns out fun.
Todd snickered as he tossed a tote bag full of beach towels over his shoulder and grabbed two lounge chairs.
I believe you mean suns out, guns out?
Raphael chuckled as he flexed.
Nah, bro, the imp repeated. You ever been on a beach trip with us? There's more uncovered buns in a fucking McDonald's the health department shut down.
I started pulling out the different objects we'd gotten from the store, from the beach tents to the bags of towels and, most importantly, the bathing suits. Once everything was in a pile on the ground, I shut Shadow's hatch, locked her doors, and then beeped it for good measure. I took a few of the bags containing foldable chairs and the beach tents into my hands, and then watched as the rest of the team picked up other various goodies. The rest of the team picked up various items as we prepared for our journey. Then the dark-haired archangel sprouted his wings and walked to the edge of the surf.
"Follow me,"
he announced, and then he zipped off into the distance at light speed. Deja grabbed Oliver, Libby grabbed Jane, and then they followed the Archangel to the horizon. The rest of us were not far behind, and I couldn't help but marvel at the beautiful, pristine blue ocean underneath us. We flew for another 10 minutes until we saw the land behind us completely vanish from view. The hot Florida sun beat down on us intensely as we traversed the sea. Briny sprays of water shot up into the air from below, and I watched as the wildlife swam underneath the surface of the water. Now that we were this far away from civilization, entire schools of fish moved around without care, and I even saw a few dorsal fins break the surface momentarily before they disappeared back into the abyss. Then I saw the island. Raphael's figure floated down to the shore, immediately followed by the rest of the team. When I finally touched down, I turned around and gasped. There was nothing but the pure blue waves of the ocean on the horizon, and beneath my feet was sand that looked like it had never been touched by the wind, let alone any living creatures.
Jacob!
Deja announced as she twirled in place.
Welcome to paradise!